live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
We're back. Well, it's Monday night. A new week has begun. I turn on my TV for some pigskin fun. I gotta get ready, make everything right. Monday night football's coming on tonight.
Not quite the same thing. Not quite Hank Jr. By the way, listen all 3 hours because I got a lot to say about Chris Christopherson. I know Willie's got some stuff to say about Dikembe Mutombo. Yeah, I know we're on.
Actually, I was going to jump in. I have a lot to say about Chris Christopherson before I do Mutombo.
That's the way it's ordered in the grab bag.
Okay, good.
But we got 3 hours on the way. We got two football games coming up. Tennessee-Miami. See if the Dolphs can take out Tennessee, winless Tennessee. I'm a sucker. Still back Tennessee. And then really good game. Answer the bell time, right? Seattle for real against Detroit. And we'll get into that in the middle of the show with teams that I think are for real. We're tracking so much today, man. Willie Ramirez is here. Mateo and Colin with the setup back in the Finley Toyota Studios. It's Griffin. Griffin and I were out here on Friday night. We watched David Perico and his Raiders house band. That was awesome. It was awesome.
I saw the crowd.
I knew it was going to be loud. They were good, man. They have two female leads that were out here. Unreal. Unreal. And they're doing that every Friday night as their Friday night tailgate. I'm telling you, I'm all juiced up. One, baseball's still going on. Regular season's finishing up. What a freaking comeback by the Mets. Mets look kind of dead in the water. They get six in the eighth. They win that one 8-7. So now we got this crazy scenario of playoff eligibility being played out here. Top five, Atlanta is leading 1-0. So what's going on, buddy?
Well, I'm breathing a little bit easier today.
Fired up.
I was a little nervous this morning. Had a lot of work to do to get done. Right. I wanted to make sure I got a lift in. But most importantly, I had to make sure I got to the grocery store because there's this port strike on the East Coast. A port strike. I can't think of the word right now. What's the word I'm looking for?
That describes it.
Well, there's the specific workers, the union workers.
Dock workers?
Not dock workers. I can't. It begins with an L, and it's escaped me.
Longshoremen?
The longshoremen are going to strike at midnight. And they're saying it could be worse than the pandemic because the pandemic stuff was off the shelves because people were buying it, and it was just a matter of getting it shipped in, getting it, you know, to the places. Yep. But here
we go.
They're not going to be unloaded off the docks, and
going to be wiping my rear end with sandpaper again.
Not me. I got
you loaded up.
Well, it's funny. I learned my lesson.
Got to drag the hose inside and hose yourself down.
In February of 2020, I was part of that Amazon subscribe and save, and I needed toilet paper, and so it said, do you need it right now? So I hit yes. It sent me some, but then my subscribe and save sent it. So from that point
just
forward, I was always ahead of it. Good. So I've got, I'm stocked up.
It's an important update to start on Monday.
It is.
With Monday Night Football coming up here at Ellis Island. Willie is all set
on toilet paper and eggs.
And eggs too. We're not good with the eggs. We always let them go bad. We're not eating enough eggs.
You let them go bad?
Yeah, we let them go bad.
You and the SO need to send me some eggs because I eat, you know, between five and eight a day.
I need to do raw eggs at least a couple times a week.
Okay, Rocky, settle down.
I got an eating contest coming up. I got to get in shape. I got 4 days now for the donut eating contest.
I heard it announced the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Well, they announced Mika.
Yeah.
But not Mickey, you. They Mickey. Didn't say Mickey. They Mickey's, didn't say Mickey's they hero. Didn't say anything about Cofield. I was waiting for it, and then I heard nothing.
Much bigger,
nothing.
Much bigger celebrities and people really connected to UNLV who are going to be in it. In fact, we'll get Mickey on this week. One of the UNLV dignitaries will be on as well. So it's on. It's a lot of intensity.
I want to know some of the names that are going to be in it with you and Mickey. Spoil it. Let's go.
Well, there was a weird eating contest over the summer. Probably on July 1st or 2nd, where UNLV basketball set up Bear Cherry, who's 6'11", 280. Now he's about 260. Against Kevin Kruger in a one donut eating contest. Check that. A one hot dog eating contest in honor of the 4th. Kruger smoked the young man. He destroyed him.
Whoever could eat the one hot dog.
One hot dog. It was like, and it was like, who knows, 2.7 seconds.
Wow.
So this contest is two dozen donuts the fastest. It is not a 3-minute limit. It is not a 2-minute limit. So we are up against it against Miki Sudo because I think she can do 24 donuts like inside of 2 minutes.
All right. Speaking of hot dogs, I have said many times on this show, I'm not a hot dog guy. I can't eat hot dogs. I can't. I just, they mess with me 100%. I could do hot links. I could do beef hot links or big fat beef dogs. The meals yesterday, the media meal at the game, pregame, was so bad.
Here we go.
That I had.
Spoiled media.
That I.
Spoiled Raiders media.
It was nasty. It's not spoiled. I appreciate the free food.
What was the problem?
They were fried egg sandwiches in toast. The problem was they keep them in those steamers, so the humidity got them wet,
mushy.
Yeah. But then right. Because of the butter and whatever they're putting into it, became very chewy and sticky. The egg just disintegrated it was nasty.
You should come by here on Sunday morning and get like 3 McEllises.
I should, but anyway, went over by the hot dog stand to check it out. They had big Polish sausages
and hot dogs.
So I had a nice Polish sausage
good.
With some fries for breakfast.
Isn't it? Is this something that should go in front of the stadium authority?
What's that?
I don't know. Why is there unevenness? I don't get it. Because you guys all complain about the Raiders food. The UNLV food, for the most part, is always good.
It was good the other night against Fresno. And the Golden Knights was really good the other night in the preseason game.
But on Allegiant specifically, is this an issue for the stadium commission? What is going on?
I don't know.
Because where's Mark Davis on this to step up?
I tell you what, the first couple of seasons, it was really good. But they've gone downhill with the meaty meals, I will have to say. The best thing about it is all the snacks. Of course, I can't scarf down candy. But because of the port strike, I did stock up on some boxes of Sour Patch Kids and Skittles and whatnot and threw them in there. So
you know, it's kind of funny here. I'm sort of blowing you off on the longshoremen.
I appreciate
and
that.
The work they do, because I do appreciate what they do, but I hadn't heard about this, and I feel like you're prepped, and I'm not going to be, and I'll be complaining 2 weeks from now that I'm out of supplies.
You're going to be complaining Wednesday when we do the show. You're going to be there. I should have listened to you.
Well, I have like 4 years of frozen food. I have a lot. We got a lot of freezers and a lot of frozen food.
By the way the conversation started, you better go get some toilet paper.
I know.
Just don't fist bump me the rest of the week.
It's okay. Giveaway time. Iron Maiden in town October 5th. That's coming up this weekend. Mick Ultra Arena. MUA. AXS.com is where you get the tickets. Griffin's going to hook you up early in the show with tickets to see Iron Maiden. 364-1100, 364-1100. I think the AFC West is going to be fascinating the rest of the way. I'm blown away by how the Chiefs are surviving, what's happening.
Yeah.
We'll get you updated on all these injuries, but Hollywood Brown down. Isaiah Pacheco down. Rashee Rice probably down for the year. Do we get confirmation on his ACL? The door is open for other teams in the division to excel. Maybe yesterday was the beginning of some good times. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have gone the wrong way. Raiders made some of their own breaks. Give me a read on the game and the victory for the Raiders. And I would assume on the flip side, Browns fans are like, what the hell just happened? Why did we lose that game?
So for me, because we're going to be breaking this down all during the whole entire show, so I'm not going to get into specifics in terms of breaking down the three units, but what I think the best thing to take from yesterday's Raiders win over the Browns is that they did it without Max Crosby, without Devontae Adams, without Thayer Munford. I mean, a host of guys that you normally would see on the field did not play, and they stepped up and rose to the occasion. They put the pressure on Deshaun Watson, second most quarterback hurries in his career. I had tweeted out prior to this game, he was 0-4 when he was hurried 9 or more times in a game. Not sacked, just hurried. And it was only 4 times, 2 nines, and 11 and a 12. Yesterday, he was hurried, I believe, 11, so tied for the second most. Throw in a few sacks. I mean, 14 between the hurries and the sacks. And how many attempts did he make? 32 attempts. Almost half the time he was under pressure. without Max Crosby. So, I mean, it's not as if they're not capable, you know, with the other names that are on that line. But I think it showed a little gusto in that, hey, business decisions. They stood up and stood on business, and they did what they had to do to hold on for the win late in the game and come up with some big plays.
Defense showed depth. Guys had to step up, and many of them did, especially on the defensive line and at linebacker.
The one thing I will say is I think there were areas that if you're asking if we're in Cleveland right now doing this show and they're saying, well, what do we take from this? I think that there are arguments in that you could say, well, the Browns may have beaten themselves. You know what I mean? Capitalizing on mistakes, the interception. I mean, that was Amari Cooper. Didn't have that good of a game, right? I mean, there were some uncharacteristic moments. There were some fixable things on the Browns side. But from the Raiders, based off what took place a week before against Carolina, I think you have to chalk it up to a decent win. And the fact that, like I said, they did it without Devontae and Max. And we'll touch on this throughout the show, breaking down certain aspects of each unit.
Well, the run game.
The run game was outstanding. I mean,
there's no way this team's going to win games unless they establish some sort of run game. And I don't care how they get the yards.
Right, exactly.
Because jamming it between the tackles was not working, and it kind of – they did it for volume yesterday, probably punished the defense a little bit. Zamir White had 17 carries for 50 yards. That was interesting. They wanted to get him a bigger workload, so they did. But what it did was open things up for Madison. They had some junk plays, trick plays that worked, and I'll give credit to Getsy. You got to try something, anything you can, to get defenses to be a little more honest. Now, the problem yesterday was, you know, they're not going to push the ball down the field. They're down a bunch of receivers. But I respect what they did in the run game because they got it going, and hopefully that can continue forward.
Well, they total 152 yards on the ground, five players with runs of at least 10 yards. Now, you're going to sit there and hear that and go, well, 10 yards, big deal. Well, it is five players of at least 10 yards. That was the most since 2010 when they did it against the Seahawks. So it's been 14 years since they've had five players in one game rush for 10 or more yards. So it obviously was a big deal. It was a run by committee rather than having one superstar. And that's good.
And next week is a pivotal game. The Broncos now are feeling very confident. I really couldn't tell if Bo Nix can play or can't play because it was raining the entire game and he was shot putting the ball half the time. But their defense, man, up front against the Jets, they mauled the Jets' offensive line. Mauled them.
Yeah.
And Breece Hall, nothing in the middle. Again, between the tackles, no shot. Denver's feeling pretty confident. I saw at least one fan/content creator for the Broncos say, hey, there's no way the Broncos are going to lose this game against the Raiders. I feel like they've said that a lot recently, and they never beat the Raiders.
It seems like a lot of that time, a lot of so far through the week, through the games with two left in week four, it seems like when that phrase is uttered, the other team wins. There's no way the Panthers are going to beat the Raiders. Beat the Panthers.
There's no such thing as no way in the NFL.
Yeah, no.
And there's no such thing as no way an underdog will be competitive, because that has been the story of the league.
All season.
Absolutely. Especially and in this case it wasn't one of those lines, but those that are sitting around, you know, getting 5.5 or more, I mean, they've been money in winning outright and covering the spread. 364-1100. 364-1100. Let's give out a 2-foot classic sub from Porta Subs, your neighborhood sandwich shop. Caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100. We are hanging for another big night of Monday Night Football. We got two games on the way, so one will kick off in the 4 o'clock hour, one will kick off in the 5 o'clock hour. So get on down here, Ellis Island. Got Mega Monday. Those are the 50-ounce drinks. 2-for-1. That's a hell of a deal. $7 bites, $7 drinks, select drinks from 3 to 6. So get started early. Get out here. Two Monday Night Football games with Cofield and Company.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Just kicking things off on a Monday. UNLV with a massive victory. Not only massive because they hadn't beaten Fresno State in the longest time. They had a bunch of close games against them. Six straight losses, Willie. The last three looked a lot like this game on Saturday, except for the fact that Fresno torched them in the pass game. Did not happen this time, but the physicality in the run game, UNLV brought it again and wound up absolutely smoking a really good Fresno State program. I thought they were the favorite before the season to win the Mountain West Conference title. I think they have the best quarterback, although maybe I got to back off on that a little bit. And Mikey Keene, who was just shell-shocked early on, and we'll build on this throughout. This game for me is one of the first times where I'm like, whoa. Because I respected what they did against Kansas and Houston. Their defense looked better. But the Fresno offense is for real and has been scary forever. And the fact that they, one, stopped the run again. Malik Sherrod did nothing.
Yep.
Their star running back. And those deep shots weren't there. The deep crosses weren't there. That was a masterful defensive performance. And they got in the head of the quarterback with the pressure and then all the INTs.
UNLV looked like, from start to finish, UNLV looked like the teams that come in years past and play them. They looked like the confident team that they knew they were going to win. There was no, you know, I mean, there was no apprehension in anything they did. And if something didn't work, they came back and fixed it. And they looked like the team that, like I said, like Boise State at laying 20 to coming into Las Vegas in years past and just stepping all over the Rebels.
You're watching at 14-0, and you're like, I don't know if Fresno is going to do anything. Like there, and by the middle of the third quarter, I thought they broke the offensive line. I think they broke the defensive line of Fresno. I think they broke Mikey Keene to a certain extent. It was just a dominant effort, and between the physicality up front and then the discipline on the back end, I saw, you know, working on the sidelines, Odom came over a couple of times and complimented the defense. And I think late in the game was like, hey, they can't stop you guys.
Right.
You guys gotta keep it up. You know, pour it on. He's talking to the defense.
A couple and some numbers here for you that are important. Total defense in the nation. They're allowing 309.5 yards per game, 36th. Their rushing D is 14th best in the country. They're allowing only 83.5 yards on the ground. Their pass efficiency defense is 17th best. Their scoring defense tied for 15th. Real important here. Their turnover margin tied for third in the nation at +2. Their third down conversion percentage on defense, 8th in the nation. They're only allowing converted thirds, 25.9%. And red zone defense tied for 31st in the nation. This team is right now a machine. And you bring up, it was Fresno State going to do anything. It was funny because I tweeted out, it seemed more like a snarky tweet at the time, because I tweeted, Fresno State hasn't been shut out since whatever date it was, 2010 or something like that, and they won't be again. I was actually preparing a tweet and waiting for it to say, the last time Fresno State was shut out, and it appears they're on. Like, I had it ready because we weren't sure that they were going to get on the board.
UNLV 4-0 for the first time since 1976. Now they've joined the AP poll in the top 25, so that's a first. It's funny, I saw Caleb Herring was like, enjoy the moment, stop tweeting out or telling us about all these firsts. It is significant.
It's very significant.
To give you background about what the program has been and what even recently the program was before Odom got here. Again, this is a two-year build where he had some really good core players. He was smart enough not to tell them to all screw off like Deion did in Colorado. He kept, I mean, Ricky White he's so good.
Very poised.
And the thing that impressed me the most is he had 10 catches, like 152, a couple touchdowns, is his love of special teams. Like a guy who's going to be in the NFL at some point, he'd figure to be like, ah, I'm going to beg off special teams. As I was watching, I'm like, you know what? If he doesn't make it as a wide receiver, he may have a 10-year career as a special teamer. He's already blocked a punt. Then, because of the threat of Ricky White, we're not talking about wide receiver threat. The threat of this guy on special teams, now teams are afraid of him on the edge. And then Tim Skipper said after the game, we got out-schemed on that one because they were so interested in protection and kind of shifted it over for Ricky White. They left the middle open, and, you know, you got Shebest, who's like, all right, let's bring someone up the middle. So Rashad Tanner, who's a special teams ace, He gets up the middle, blocks it, and then Ricky White is running hard. Scoop, score.
I don't like doing this. And it's unfair to Ricky. And I'm not talking about skill for skill, but I'm just talking about in general, as far as receiver slash special teams specialist. As he gets better, when he graduates or when he's done with UNLV, when he goes to the combine, as he trains and prepares, I mean, Tyreek Hill. What have we seen this kid do, you know, in both units? And you mentioned, you know, he's his love for special teams. But, I mean, Steve, his love for his teammates, his poise behind the mic, just his overall persona makes him that much better. He's going to be prepared. I mean, this is a guy, he didn't have to come to UNLV, and he certainly didn't have to stay here. This is a guy who, I mean, is – this is a guy you want to draft. This is a character guy in the locker room.
And they got a bunch of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, keep an eye the rest of the season. When they score touchdowns, and I'm not saying they don't – they're not exuberant and some don't celebrate, but most of the times the veterans on this team, especially Ricky White's like, all right, good play. That's what I'm supposed to do. Back to the sideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just the way they handle things, and I notice it with Haj Malik Williams.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see him doing backflips or, you know, and you can do that. I don't mind about that. It just kind of tells you what their mindset is. And then, of course, Ricky White hangs around at the end of the press conference, makes a comment about Derek Stevens. He didn't reference him specifically, but mentions the fact that, hey, to the, you know, the casino owner who wanted to, you know, donate money, give it to our offensive line.
That was huge.
And after that kind of game, it's very pointed because the O-line was awesome. That was on Pro Football Focus, across the board, that was some of the best games we've seen all year. Jalen St. John had a breakout game. The left guard, Matias Sua, has been a top two guy the whole year. Tiger Shanks is one of the better right tackles, you know, top 25 right tackle in the country, and that was cool to see. Ricky White, shout them out.
From opening night to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans, don't miss a second of the NFL this season. Hi, this is Kurt Warner of Westwood One. Join our crew each week for the best in primetime NFL action. Monday night, Sunday night, and Thursday night football, plus marquee games on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, Christmas, and more. Westwood One is the exclusive radio home for every primetime and postseason game. It's right here.
On the Las Vegas Sports Network.
This truck season, think about all the things you can do in a Chevy truck. You'll be able to... or you can... you can even just... with impressive towing, incredible bed and tailgate functionality, and multiple powertrains, Chevy trucks have what you need to get things done. When you want to do it all, Chevy's got you. See your Southern Nevada Chevy dealers.
All work and no play makes for one boring-ass week. Kick boredom to the curb with ice-cold beer, signature cocktails, and the best tavern food in town. Voted best happy hour in Las Vegas, there's no better place to be than PT's Taverns. See you for 50% off drinks during happy hour 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and 12 a.m. to 2 a.m. daily. With over 65 locations, there's always a PT's Tavern near you. Visit PT'sTaverns.com to find your favorite neighborhood tavern.
We've all seen and heard the TV and radio ads from personal injury attorneys selling you on who wins more, who's largest, and who can pay the most to be called the best. If you really want to know who you should call if you've been hurt, ask the people who know, the clients. I'm Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, and we pride ourselves on our customer service. Google Battleborn Injury Lawyers and see what our clients say about us. Or call 766-1400 for a free consultation. At Battleborn, your battle is our fight.
I'm Eli Manning.
And I'm Peyton Manning. We want to tell you about the Caesars Sportsbook Nevada app with Caesars Rewards.
You can instantly redeem your Caesars Reward credits for sports bets right on the app.
You can also use the Caesars Reward credits earned on the app for meals and experiences at 15 resorts across the state, including the Bacchanal Buffet at Caesars Palace.
Don't forget those tier credits. With your wagers on the Caesars Sportsbook Nevada app, you can unlock free parking and much more.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
hanging out at Ellis Island. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
You know, I hate to make the show that's named Cofield and Company about myself, but I'm going to do it here.
Okay.
Willie Ramirez is here. Front Yard, Ellis Island. Got Mega Mondays going on right now. Buy one, get one on those 50-ounce drinks. The Mega Mary. I think I want one of those, but I got to wait towards the end of the show.
I get that spicy one you get.
Yep. Or, you're right, that's part of the happy hour, Monday to Friday, $7 bites, $7 drinks. That is the pineapple jalapeno margarita. So, I almost had a perfect weekend. I got a win from Rutgers against Washington. That's a big one. I cover a win, rousing victory by UNLV against Fresno State. I thought it was also funny because sitting in front of a couple of the Fresno players at Mountain West Conference Football Media Day, Malik Sherrod, I forget who the other guy was, but they were kind of laughing about how they beat UNLV last year because Seneca McKee dropped the ball in the end zone in the fourth quarter. I was like, all right. And then, you know, then yesterday I'm like, all right, I got it all set up, got all the TV set up. Yeah, humble brag, right? The Jets game was just, it was abysmal. And then I got to watch just the lack of character and leadership sometimes for football teams. Like, you know why they're average or below average. So it starts with Robert Saleh limping in. I don't mean literally, but limping in with a stupid comment about Aaron Rodgers and false starts. And he's like, well, maybe we have to look at some changes in the cadence with Aaron Rodgers. Then they ask Aaron Rodgers in a separate part of a press conference, and he's like biting his tongue, but he can't contain himself. So he's like, well, maybe we should have a sense of urgency and accountability. Like, I'm not changing my cadence. Then at the end of the game, if we go back to the game, he's sitting on the sidelines and puts a towel on his head. Like, jackass, you're one of the biggest names in the NFL. You're in New York City. You can't put a towel on your head and, like, throw it back like Curt Schilling used to do when Curt Schilling used to screw over Byung-Hung Kim, the, you know, Korean relief pitcher who was always, in, you know, super flammable. It's like you're just showing your other guy up. So, like, you got to know where you are. Just take the high road. Yeah, we'll look at that. That's it. That's the answer. Hey, Saleh says you need to change your cadence. We'll take a look at that. That's it. But, like, we all have moments where we got to take the high road, Willie. That's all I ask for. Otherwise, you're creating false drama.
Like right now, you should take the high road and just not let it get to you because we're 24 hours later. But what it does is it feeds the fodder.
No. Our job is
to scrutinize.
It's not to take the high road with opinions. Maybe behind the scenes it's to take the high road, but no. No, because those are games, and the Raiders have games like this too. Just like they had with the Panthers. If you're going to be a 10 or 11 win team and actually make sure you're in the playoffs, you can't have games like that. And then you can't react by going, oh, you know, accountability or towel on the head, or like AP did last week, which we'll get to. We apologize for it, but the kind of the immaturity of you're not a player anymore. Okay, so you can't talk about business decisions because that lasts for weeks.
And here's why. Because just like last week with Antonio Pierce, guess what is tomorrow? Or, excuse me, Wednesday. Wednesday is quarterback, one other player, podium, head coach. So they're going to have to address that. What did y'all discuss Monday? Tuesday you're off. What happened to practice today? And I've been in a Jets press conference like last year when the Raiders beat them, and they are sharks with blood in the water. It was brutal in terms of trying to get a question off with the Jets media. So they will be feeding frenzy on Wednesday with that situation.
Steve Kim, the host of the Three Knockdown Rule, joins Cofield and Company, presented by Snack Nutrition.
Yesterday I was mentioning Operation. We're always going to push the envelope with cadence, always. But with regards to Operation, you know, getting in and out of the huddle, getting to the line of scrimmage, the communication that's being had, those are all things that we can continue to look at and clean up. But from a cadence standpoint, that's part of what makes us who we are.
All right, okay, that's enough. I can't listen to this anymore. Enough of the Robert Saleh and the cadence and Aaron Rodgers. going at him, and just stupid. That's why the Jets are mediocre. Steve Kim is with us. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, afternoon, gentlemen. Hope everything's going well.
That's not. The Jets lost, and they look like crap, and then you got that nonsense where both, you know, Salah's trying to take a shot at Rodgers. Rodgers throws him under the bus, and Salah comes back the next day. It's like, everyone be smarter and be part of a freaking team. I want to start with some fight talk on being smart. Willie, you wanted to throw on the Canelo scheduling here, and maybe one of the options that now he's interested in is like, nah, sorry, too late. What's going on here, Steve, with Canelo matchmaking?
Well, the Canelo matchmaking, it is what it is. He does it because he can, and he has a built-in audience. And look, the guy's put in a lot of work. There's a familiarity with him, given the fact he's inching up on 70 professional bouts, something that I don't think we'll ever see again at this level. And because of the notoriety that he has earned, he does have a certain privilege in terms of choosing who he wants to fight and still making a lot of money. You know, I haven't really heard much about who he may face next or when that's going to happen. I'm assuming that's going to be next Cinco de Mayo. You know, there's reports that Tank Davis is going to be taking on Lamont Roach, who's a pretty good fighter, but really a junior lightweight. I don't think that event will do nearly as well as some of the past Canelo events have done. It kind of really brings about the question, post-Canelo, who really is the pay-per-view franchise that's going to carry boxing for the next decade?
The excuses that he's using, and I say that tongue-in-cheek, but somewhat serious. I mean, Benavidez, right? He's saying that he offers him nothing, offers nothing to him apart from an extra 25 pounds. He says that Terrence Crawford, you know, he gets no benefit out of or no credit by beating a naturally smaller man. But, I mean, these are names that people want to see that I think it does add credibility and it would be a blockbuster event.
Willie, I agree with you. And here's the thing. I don't know exactly what Munguia and Berlanga did in terms of the credibility and all that other stuff. You know, Munguia, I thought at least had a world title, been in some very good fights. Berlanga, I thought was completely undeserving. I've never seen anything like it, guys. Berlanga's going on a victory tour or a victory lap or maybe a marathon in a fight where he won no round. I've never seen anything like it. As I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, how would this guy celebrate if he would have actually, you know, won the fight? It's mind-boggling.
And then there's Dmitry Bivol, and he says, you had your chance. Now I'm busy. Is that the fight that he really wants?
Well, remember this, Willie. He actually beat him, Bivol. I was there ringside, yeah. And I thought that was a conclusive victory for Dmitry. I don't care what the scorecards say. I think Canelo may have won two rounds. But, you know, again, if Bivol should beat Beterbiev in a couple of Saturdays, that's going to be October 12th, which is a loaded college football weekend, and I'll try to peek in on the fight, certainly. If it's Beterbiev, who's an absolute wrecking ball, I don't see Canelo going up to 75 for that. And then the other option is, well, let's say if Bivol wins, does he really want to face a guy that befuddled him a couple of years ago? I still, look, I appreciate what Canelo has meant to the sport. But there comes a point of diminishing returns. It's almost like, look, when he leaves the game, I'm not going to be happy for it, but I'm not going to exactly say, wow, I'm going to pine for the days when he's taking on Edgar Berlanga.
Steve Kim, brought to you by Snack Nutrition here on Cofield & Company on a Monday. Boy, oh boy, I'm looking at college football, your retweets, your tweets, your good write-up, recap of the weekend, which we'll get to. You seem to be enjoying every freaking second of this Florida State underwhelming season. They lose to SMU and kind of lost pretty badly.
You know, that's part of the fun of being a college football fan, is that when it comes to your arch rivals, your joy is my pain, yep, and my pain is your joy, and vice versa. And you know, there's so much at stake here when it comes to these Florida schools, in-state recruiting. It is so optics-based with these young men that you're trying to recruit. And just the fact, look, they're rivals. You don't want them to really win, and you want to hammer them. And they say you should never kick anyone when they're down. Guys, when it comes to college football, kick away. Yes. Just keep kicking. Keep kicking like you're Justin Tucker or Bruce Lee. That's part of the joy of it. And Florida State, I actually watched much of that game with SMU. They're at that point now, I think, that Mike Norvell has to make a decision about who is going to be a starting quarterback, and does he go with the full-blown youth movement, because this year has basically been a disaster. And there's an old phrase in sports that if you're going to be bad, you better be bad and young.
Well, it sounds like he's got a built-in excuse for sitting DJU with the finger injury. It looks like he's going to be out for a little bit. I am going to tell you, though, Steve Kim, I might pump the brakes a little bit after what I saw with the Canes against VTech. And I saw you retweet someone saying, hey, you know what, VTech's good. I think VTech is not good at all. I watched that whole Rutgers-VTech game the week before, and they made the score close at the end. There's some things in that game that worry me a little bit. Are you worried?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was not a great game. And everyone's lauding Cam Ward, but the bottom line is anytime a quarterback turns the ball over three times, it's not a good game. He amassed some good stats, bailed us out. But if he plays a clean game, Miami doesn't have to rely on ACC officials and the replay crew to reverse that call to begin with. And yeah, I think, in my view, not having Reuben Bain and Jalen Rivers, the starting left tackle, I mean, those are two of your very best players. Look, it's easier to get away with that against Ball State and USF than it is against another P4 opponent that you play every year. And the thing that was very apparent in being there at that game live Friday, Steve, Miami still needs to recruit some better athletes on the back end of their defense. I don't know if they have that really fast, speedy, true number one corner that if you really want to make a run at this year and do damage, I just don't see a high-quality cornerback. And Damari Brown's probably that guy that's currently on the roster. No one seems to know when he's going to be back. So, you know, they're going up to Cal this weekend. I'll be at that game. And the thing that I would like to see is just the Cam Ward, starting with him, just Miami play a good, clean, turnover-free game.
National championship hopes. I wonder where you are on Alabama in the end skating by Georgia. I was not impressed with the back end of either one of those defenses. Now, I also trust the coaching staffs that with the athletes they have, they will get better. But that was, while all the heroics were on offense, both defenses, yikes.
Yeah, you know, it is funny because every team, no matter how good they are defensively, has to win a shootout or two. That's just the way the college football game is. You know, and I wrote about this and I talked about this with Jason Whitlock. I thought that was a fantastic game, certainly very memorable. It's going to take a monumental contest to overcome that as the game of the year per se. But the reality is, guys, and certainly Texas will have something to say about this, that could be the first of three meetings this year because there's a chance they can meet in the SEC title game and certainly in the 12-team playoff where the SEC will get at least four teams, right? So, you know, when people say, is this the greatest game ever? Well, first of all, it's in September, and there's no guarantee that it's the only time that they meet up this year. I mean, back in the olden days of, let's say, I don't know, 5 years ago, this game would have actually had much more impact and meaning than it did on Saturday night.
All right, so let's talk about that 12th spot, group of five, after 4 weeks now, and Saturday's win, UNLV. What do you see its chances are?
Well, you know, look, I have a lot of interest in that Syracuse game. Fran Brown has that program seemingly going in the right direction, and it looks like UNLV, lucky them, that not only did they get a discount, but they upgraded at the quarterback position. And that's amazing. I mean, if Sluka's NIL evaluation wasn't very high about 10 days ago, it's probably about half of it now. I was impressed. Fresno State is a real football program. For years, they produced NFL players. They battled some of the big boys. They pulled their share of upsets. And what I don't see often is them getting blown out. And look, it was about a month ago. They went into the Big House. They faced a very limited Michigan offense, but they body punched with them. They are right in that game through the middle of the fourth quarter till that pick six from Will Johnson. So you can say what you want, that it's only Fresno State, but it's the same Fresno State that was hanging in there with Michigan about, you know, 5 weeks ago. So UNLV looks like they have some very interesting things going on with their athletic department. And Cofield, when was the last time UNLV was the national story when it came to football? Has that ever happened before?
No. No. I was trying to think back to a couple of good seasons here and there. But, I mean, Willie and I were just talking about the traffic last week. And he's a recipient of it. But the traffic last week on that story and then also the conference chaos stuff is through the freaking roof. And now it's worth a follow because they're unbeaten. And let's see what this Haj Malik Williams does the rest of the way. I mean, he's been great. Let's stick with quarterbacks for a minute here. I think a lot of people were lined up to say, hey, this quarterback class in the NFL, this first-round class, maybe they're just not ready. They're going to, they need a couple years, or bottom line, they stink. Jayden Daniels, and I know the NFL, the way they play now, can lead to a little higher completion percentage. But, man, across the board, his numbers are sick. I mean, they never punt the ball. They went in, and I think Arizona's pretty decent. They slaughtered him.
Jayden Daniels, and I've been on record as saying this, so this is not Monday morning quarterbacking. I thought he was the best quarterback of this upcoming draft. And if you had to redraft everybody again, and if the Chicago Bears could do it all over again, I don't think they'd pick that guy they have now. And when I watch Caleb Williams, it just looks like a mess, guys. He doesn't get rid of the ball on time. He holds it too long. He gets hit unnecessarily, and he's not all that accurate. I know they won yesterday, but that's against the banged-up Ram team. But when I see Jayden Daniels, who's been guided very, very well by Cliff Kingsbury, who in the past has been a very quarterback-friendly coach, it looks right. It just looks good. Look, they're not pushing the ball down the field, but at the same time, Jayden is getting rid of the ball quickly. He's on time. They're producing points. And, look, it's been a long time since the Redskins have had a bona fide franchise quarterback. Maybe it was Mark Rippon, who was prone to being very inconsistent at times, but still brought them a Super Bowl and an MVP year. But you look at that Redskins team, there seems to be some real, real strong momentum. And a lot of these quarterbacks are not ready. They're really not. I mean, guys, every time I see Andy Dalton play now, the Panthers are suddenly not nearly as bad as they were just 2 weeks ago without Bryce Young. And when you see Andy Dalton, you at least see a functioning, operational NFL offense.
He's the host of Three Knockdown Rules, Mario Lopez. Great podcast, weekly podcast. Steve Kim on Cofield & Company. Last 2 points. One, nice job by your guy, Younghoe Koo. I saw your comment.
Oh, my nephew. We're very proud of him, yes. Bulgogi was a flowing along with the Korean beer Haitae last night. Very joyous occasion.
You need to get him on an interview because I don't think most people know what he sounds like. He actually grew up in North Jersey. He's like a character from The Sopranos if you didn't know what he looked like. Real thick accent.
I get that a lot. You know, when people meet me, they're like, wow, Steve, you're Asian? Well, you sound like a white guy, and I've always taken that as a compliment.
I didn't mean it. It's just when you hear Younghoe Koo, it'd be like, hey, kick over there. Like, he's like one of those guys. Okay, we got to close on this. We got about a minute here. I feel like there's still weirdness, even though Caitlin Clark is out of the WNBA playoffs. I've seen a lot of people point out there really wasn't a big celebration about the Rookie of the Year thing. Do you feel like there's still vibes? And then you've also got Angel Reese kind of bringing her name up again. It's always odd around her.
I mean, just the whining of her colleagues, those fine young ladies of the WNBA, just the whining that they've been doing and the finger pointing, just being perpetually aggrieved, or as Thomas Sowell would say, the philosophy of grievance, which they seem to just engulf themselves in. This is exactly why for years the league was not marketable, because it's not likable. Without her, I don't think the action is as good, and you see the plummeting attendance numbers. And they got to figure out one way or another, do you want those fans or not? Because it's not always going to be perfect. There will be scrutiny. And now Christine Brennan, generally a very respected reporter, she's being castigated for asking some rather, I would say, appropriate but pointed questions. You know, this is exactly why nobody gravitates towards that league without Caitlin Clark. They're just proving everyone's point.
Steve, have a good week. We appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
There he is, Steve Kim. At Steve Kim, 323, up on Twitter. You were kind of like clenching your fist. I want to make sure we get out on time here. But were you clenching it at the league's not likable, or Christine Brennan doing her book on Caitlin Clark and asking questions and people turning on her?
Just he touched on certain issues, and we're up against it. And so, and there are, not debating Steve, but just the points that he's making, the things that are out there. Like, for instance, the Christine Brennan But you can't just sort of just say that and end it. But that's not his fault. It's not our fault. We're up against it. The first question was fine. It probably could have been worded different. The second question was out of line. End of story.
What was it? We got 20 seconds.
Once Dejanay Carrington said, no, I didn't do it intentional. I didn't realize that I had hit her. She shouldn't have said, were you and Marina laughing about it later? No, there was a Carmelo Anthony deal. And so she already said, I didn't know what I did. So how could she be laughing about it? She's instigating.
Big 4 at 4 is on the way. We're live here at Ellis Island, the front yard. Come on out. Two Monday Night Football games tonight and great specials.